Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:07 British Summertime. Today is June 2nd. Well, following on from the downward dynamics on Wall Street yesterday, the majority of Asian markets were weaker in here today. The Nikkei was down by 1 2/3%, the Hang Seng was down over 1.5%, and the ASX in Australia was down 2.25%. The financial sector in Asia was also substantially weaker. Now, that was exaggerated perhaps by National Australia Bank's ex-dividend, and it does have a rather chunky yield. So that had a knock-on effect on the share price. But nevertheless, there was weakness right across the sector, and it really does need an upward dynamic to suggest that demand is returning. And there's been a short-term progression of lower rally highs that would need to be broken to suggest that medium-term demand dominance is returning in here. The fact that you had Moody's come out and say that that they're considering downgrading U.S. debt had a knock-on effect for government bond prices, and U.S. Treasuries were down by a full point. Considering the news, they could have been down by more, and that probably points more to the fact that there's still a strong likelihood that this situation is going to be resolved favorably, and that what is currently going on is a large degree of political maneuvering. Wall Street finished out today down about a third of 1%. The S&P and Nasdaq were both relatively unchanged, and the Brazilian market was stronger by about 1%, and most of Europe was weaker by over 1%. The DAX was weaker by almost 2%, 1.99%. And in the commodity complex, the silver price in particular was weak in here. It's down 149, finishing out the day at 36.19. That's nearly 70 cents off the low of the day. At one point, it was down well in excess of $2. We saw a pairing of intraday losses on quite a few of the commodities, and that was a similar story with both platinum and palladium, neither of which were down particularly much in the close. Platinum was down $9, and palladium was down 6. Gold pulled back to $1,520 intraday, but closed out the day at $1,534, and continues to hold the majority of its gain. And it's been really quite steady over the last couple of weeks. It remains susceptible to an additional consolidation or reversion to the mean, but its position of relative strength among the precious metals. And if one takes a step back and looks at a 5 or a 10 year weekly chart, and one can quickly identify that the last 2 years have been considerably more consistent for gold than the preceding period of time. That suggests that the difference between supply and demand continues to increase, and it remains a demand-dominated environment over the medium term, and gold has moved to new highs in a range of different currencies, which helps to support the view that it's being remonetized in the eyes of investors. So while we remain in a reactionary phase for gold, the medium-term outlook remains bullish. Elsewhere in commodities, grains and beans were all reasonably firm in here today. Wheat was stronger by 10, having had two consecutive quite weak days. Corn was stronger by 8, and soybeans by 20. Both corn and soybeans have consolidated very steadily for the last few weeks, soybeans in particular. Corn is now at 766 cents, and the peak is in the region of 800 cents. That's the peak earlier this year and the pre-crisis 2008 peak. And it's been consolidating so steadily, and the fundamentals supporting the corn and soybean markets are so compelling. And when you have the fundamentals falling in behind and you have these consistent chart patterns, the likelihood of successful upward breaks for either or both of those commodities continues to increase. The sugar market today was stronger by a full cent. The London sugar was stronger by $20 and has been outperforming the US traded contract for the last couple of weeks. The coffee market was a bit weaker in here today. The Robusta contract, which doesn't have nearly as much back history, has been holding in the region of its recovery highs for a while now. And while it pulled back somewhat in here today, that also looks like a market which can sustain a move to additional highs. Rough rice has been a laggard among the agricultural commodities. Thaksin Shinawatra's sister is running for the election in Thailand and talking about a significant subsidy for rice producers. That is probably only political talk prior to the election at this point, but they did have supports for rice growers who were an important demographic in terms of their voters when Thaksin was in power. So if that were to occur, and in the short to medium term, that could put a significant tailwind behind the rough rice price. So it is probably worth watching on a medium term basis. We remain within this reactionary phase for the majority of stock markets, and Wall Street continues to revert back towards its mean in a period of consolidation which has lasted now for a number of months. Back in October, we were asking the question whether the reaction that we'd seen, sorry, back in February, we were asking the question whether the reaction that was developing would be more like that seen in October or from April of 2010. And our conclusion was that it was probably not going to be as large as the one from April, but it wasn't going to be as small as the one from October. And that has largely been borne out, where we've had the majority of stock markets holding the majority of their gains and moving into a period of ranging consolidation and allowing the moving average to catch up with them. And that remains the case. The oil price today was as low as 98.46 at one point on West Texas and closed above $100. And oil has that same reversionary characteristic. It doesn't have the medium-term trend deterioration that would suggest we're going to see an imminent decline. And on Brent crude, it would need to take out $110 to suggest that that is about to occur. That's an additional headwind for stock markets. The relative strength of government bonds generally are supportive of the idea that we're going to have slower economic growth, and the pause in stock markets also supports that view. And the preference for risk for safe haven type assets in the current environment, with gold in a position of relative strength, currencies such as the Swiss franc having done very well, and indeed the Singapore dollar, the yen, although the fundamental case for why that should be a safe haven, I believe, is really quite spurious. But nonetheless, the yen has also been in a position of relative strength, and all of those are safe haven type of investments. And the rally that we've had in government bonds also falls into that category. We've had a number of Well, this has been a dismal 18 months for agricultural commodities, and those, particularly corn and soybeans, look like they're going to go higher. And oil is consolidating in at an historically reasonably high price, and that is also contributing to a tug of war between stock markets and the commodity markets. And the stock market is much more dependent on what commodity prices do than the other way around, in which case commodities are stock markets are more likely to fall victim to the strength and inflationary pressures coming down the pipeline from the commodity complex than the other way around. So this period of consolidation on stock markets hasn't ended, and probably has a while to go yet. The relative strength that we're seeing in the ASEAN region, where the majority of markets have held close to their recovery highs and have merely paused in the last few weeks, whereas we've seen a rather sharp pullback on Wall Street and in Europe, is supportive of their position, not just of relative strength, but also in terms of leadership, because those markets were the ones that bottomed early. They broke out of their bases early. They moved to new post-crisis highs first. They entered periods of consolidation well ahead of Wall Street. They're now in a position of relative strength, and they're the markets that are most likely to be able to sustain breaks to new high ground when the current corrective phase has run its course. We're probably not there just yet. A deteriorating oil price would certainly help, but as of yet, there's no evidence that that is unfolding. In the meantime, commodity prices are a risk, but they're also an opportunity. The fact that we've seen a number of currencies in particular become really quite overextended, euro, Swiss franc is certainly an example of that, probably offers short-term trading opportunities. The reversionary process within the confines of a consistent medium-term uptrend are also going to offer us reasonably good buying opportunities from an investment perspective over the medium term. I've posted today a number of commodity funds that share a very common chart pattern where the BlackRock World Mining Trust and the Smith and Williamson Gold and Resources Fund and the Gold Miners Index have all share a very similar pattern of mean reversion over the last few months, where they've come right back to their 200-day moving average and appear to be in the process of finding support. If a consistent trend is a trend in motion, then they should continue to find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages. And that would suggest that if they are to remain in consistent uptrends, that this is a we're probably in the area, and it'll probably be quite at least a few weeks before this is confirmed, where the reversion is being complete, and the next leg of these medium-term uptrends is probably about to unfold in the next few weeks and months. So the reversionary type of environment that we've had is beginning to throw up opportunities, but at the same time, it isn't over yet, and we may also get better investment opportunities. So the more cautious investor will wait until there's confirmation that support has been found. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.